Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin-Davis. I bet you heard about 5G. A lot of talk these days about 5G. It's about upgrading on the telecom networks to make it faster, having more capacity for wireless systems. But when it comes to what's it going to do for you, we're trying to figure that out. So we hear that this is going to bring us the infrastructure for the future of self-driving cars, the Internet of Things, the superior mobile phone services. And a lot of cities already have 5G live in some capacity across the United States. Where is San Antonio on that? San Antonio doesn't want to be left behind. When will we be seeing 5G here? So what exactly is 5G? Is it really that big of a deal? Will you need a new phone? Will you need to get this data plan that's going to eat more of your budget? And how much is this going to cost us as consumers? But how much opportunity will this provide for us as well? We invite you as we start our conversation about 5G. The number is 210. 214-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email questions and comments to the source at tpr.org, and you can send your comments on Twitter, and we're waiting to read those as well. With us to talk about 5G, we're joined by Craig Hopkins, Chief Information Officer with the City of San Antonio's Information and Technology Services Department. Craig, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having us, David.
Brian Kelly's here, Associate Professor and Assistant Associate Dean Fellow at the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at the University of Texas at San Antonio. Professor Kelly, good to have you.
Good morning, David.
And also with us online, we're joined by Scott Dunaway, spokesman for the Texas 5G Alliance. Scott, you there?
I'm here. Thank
you. All right, good to have you. And J.D. Salinas joins us. He's the Regional Vice President for External and Legislative Affairs for AT&T. J.D., it's good to have you back. So let me start off by asking Brian Kelly over at UTSA, how do you, when you tell your students about 5G, what do you tell them?
So 5G is really a merging of three basic technologies. One is high performance computer networking technology. The second is the merging of high-performance computing technology, that is to say, the processing of data. And then the third is the integration of very advanced and high-performance wireless access technology. So in 5G, these three technologies have been merged under a standard known as 5G New Radio and been released to the telecom providers so that they can operate new services that couldn't exist before.
Do you see this as a major upgrade?
It's definitely a major upgrade. So just as an example, 4G technology has a maximum data rate that's somewhat less than 5G. And I did some calculations. So if you want to download an ultra-high definition Blu-ray disc, in 4G technology, you could do it in about 7 minutes. But in 5G technology, it would take about 20 seconds to download that same amount of information, which is about 50, what we would call 50 gigabytes of data, which is a tremendous amount of data. So 5G is really advances the rate at which you can communicate information.
Scott Dunaway, spokesman for the Texas 5G Alliance. Should we be excited about being able to download so much faster?
Absolutely. I think that the speed of download is absolutely exciting facet of 5G. But I think what's also important about 5G is that we stay ahead of innovative technologies. So in today's modern environment, some data to share with you that in the past 2 years, mobile data traffic has grown by 238%. And we only expect that to go up. To the point about video, by 2021, we expect that 76% of all mobile data is actually going to be video traffic. So as we see and we grow into the future and we think about our own personal habits with connectivity, whether it be our cell phones or whether it be a fitness tracker or whether it be a smart home device, connectivity is going to continue to grow. And as it grows, we need to expand capacity and the ability to process that data. And that's where 5G is going to be a critical element to the success of that future.
And Scott Dunaway, cities that have 5G, is it important that a city does be able to say we're a 5G city?
I absolutely think that connectivity is going to be an issue of the future that cities are graded on. One of the things we like to point to is last year's Amazon RFP that went out for their HQ2. One of the criteria they outlined in that response form was information on connectivity within the city and reliability. So I think that as eco-dev becomes an issue and reliability of connective services, I think that cities will be judged on that. And 5G will serve as an important backbone for cities, for smart city initiatives. So I think yes is the simple answer.
Craig Hopkins, that's you. You're the Chief Information Officer with the City of San Antonio's Information and Technology Services Department. Can you talk about what San Antonio's, do we have a position? Has there been talk about this in City Hall? What's everybody thinking?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about this in City Hall, as you can imagine, because at the end of the day, more capacity, more capabilities for our residents is good. We all believe that, and we welcome 5G to the city. I myself, in my responsibility, have to provide services to 13,000 city employees, as well as make sure that we provide public safety, traffic management, all those services to 1.6 million residents here in the city. So capacity is better capacity, better technology is always good. The things we have to worry about is the preserving of the infrastructure.
But you have to balance things with the city. You just can't be, it's technology is bringing in here, you know, knock things down to put these things up, but you have to think about other factors, right?
Yeah, and part of that is how do you deliver 4G, 5G technology to the consumer, and that's basically through towers, through fiber, or through small cell nodes. And in order to do that, you have to have access to right away, you have to have access to poles and so forth. My primary concern is always that the interference between commercial enterprise and city services, that they don't overlap each other as well.
But then again, San Antonio also has the goal of being a smart city, be having 5G in place and having it working well, being able to service commerce and individuals and scholarly achievement. That's a good thing, right?
It is a good thing, and it's a balance. You have to balance the two. And so we've been working together closely with the telecom providers on permitting processes and deployment, working within shot clock requirements, so we can do everything we can to support that within the rules we've been given.
J.D. Salinas, Regional Vice President for External and Legislative Affairs for AT&T. AT&T is on the dime here in San Antonio when it comes to 5G, right?
Yes, sir. And we've been working real close with Craig and some of his team. I want to congratulate him because it's one of the first cities in the United States that's leading on how to make sure that this is rolled out correctly and efficiently. And we've enjoyed the relationship, and that's why they've been called by cities around the nation to see how do you do it properly, and that's what we've been doing.
Now, the 5G that AT&T, you're underground here, is that true 5G or is that 5GE?
What is going to be rolled out first is going to be 5GE, and then we're going to roll out pretty quick the 5G Plus. We just need the infrastructure to make sure that it's there so that we can have the speeds that that San Antonio customers around there deserve.
Now, 5GE, the E stands for evolution. So right. Do you see that as an intermediate step to get us to where we really want to go?
Yeah, and that's just a step to roll it out. And right after that, and it should be pretty quick soon after that, that we will have the 5G Plus, which works off millimeter waves. And that's the infrastructure we've been working with Craig and some of his team to make sure that we have, especially in the dense areas of downtown San Antonio.
Brian Kelly at UTSA, can you tell me about these nodes? You're hearing a lot about nodes. What are those?
So in 5G, one of the emerging technologies is to have remote radio nodes. Sometimes they're called remote radio heads in the vernacular. And these nodes will serve as access points to hotspots so that you can get very high data rate service. The key being that you can easily distribute these remote nodes to small places, whether they be on light poles or in buildings or access points for larger coverage areas.
So with 4G, correct me if I'm wrong, we had like more towers, mm-hmm. individual towers that could cover a space. But with 5G, even though it's more intense, can carry more information, it's limited in line of sight capacity. And so
We have to, and can it cover as far? It's a shorter distance. So we have to have more of these nodes scattered around in order to provide acceptable coverage. Is that right?
Well, that's almost right. So in 4G, we tend to have more planned network coverage, whereas in 5G, we recognize, hey, we can only place nodes in specific places that municipalities will accept. So the notion is that it's a less sort of homogeneously planned network, and that the nodes end up in various places scattered throughout an area. So that creates a different kind of network optimization that you have to perform in order to achieve optimum communication bandwidth.
So these nodes, they go on top of towers, like mm-hmm. telephone towers or light poles, things like that?
Yes. And one thing, misconception I want to try to clarify is that in 5G, we can basically do everything we can in 4G. So 5G covers whatever you can do in 4G, but it adds to it. So there are new bands that we can access in 5G. There's new smart antenna technology that's in place in 5G. But when we want to access the ultra high band, which is referred to as millimeter wave, that's essentially a new band that will enable very high data rates.
Right, on the frequency. We're moving up higher on the frequency.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it allows the higher data rates, but also it shortens the capacity of the range and line of sight ability.
Well, I would tend to say it basically gives us new avenues to communicate.
So you talked about the cities have got to be involved in this. And so let's go back to Craig Hopkins, the city of San Antonio. Right away is a concern. Also using poles, if they belong to light poles, that's city property, CPS Energy. That's our municipally owned utility. So are they... Do they make money off this? And how does that work?
Yeah, so the way that works now is the telecoms come to us, and there's a permitting process that's been put in place by the state. We follow those rules to process those requests, and they're basically requests to add a node onto an existing pole in a right-of-way. That's not always totally the case, but that's the majority of the work we do with the telecoms. We've done thousands of these, and as you can imagine, when you're downtown in a very dense environment, historic environment, you want to make sure that you're really planning these out well. So we'll go through a process with the telecoms where they'll tell us where they want to put the node. Occasionally, they may ask for a new pole to be put in place in a right-of-way, but we're primarily now we're using existing poles.
What about digging up of streets?
Yeah, so that's part of the conversation is how do we modify existing infrastructure either to get power if they need new power on a pole or if they need to go somewhere else. Primarily, if you're using existing poles, you don't have to dig up streets because the infrastructure is there. But what the city and the telecoms have done a very good job, I think this is where we really stand out across other cities, is working together on the aesthetics of how to put multiple boxes on a pole that doesn't look like wires hanging everywhere. So there's new opportunities to put power in trash cans at the base of the pole, actually embed the equipment inside the pole structure itself so you don't see it, or consolidate it on a single box at the top.
Scott Dunaway, spokesman for the Texas 5G Alliance. Are you working with cities? Do we have like some sort of notebook for best practices? Every city shouldn't have to reinvent this, right?
Yeah, that's correct, David. And you know, let me applaud Craig just for the way he explains how important that process is to move towards a successful 5G future. So the entire reason that the 5G Alliance was formed was really to emphasize the point that there are three major stakeholders at the table to see the reality of the 5G future. The first one is the cities. They play such a critical role in the investment of their infrastructure and how that's managed. The second is industry, so like AT&T, who is deploying fiber, who is erecting small cell nodes in the right-of-way, and they're at the table working with the cities. But third is the user. So all of us that are walking the streets every day or driving along in our cars using our navigation apps, we're the ones that rely on the quality of that signal. So it's important for users to understand, too, that it takes their participation along with the city and the industry to deploy these in the right way and to deploy them efficiently and effectively so that the 5G future can come sooner than later. I wanted to point back, too, that this is important because it's a massive investment in infrastructure. And Accenture did a study on this that over time, once 5G is rolled out, the industry will invest $275 billion in new infrastructure across the United States, which is significant as we talk about that moving forward.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. The number is 210-614-8980. We'll talk about what does this mean for consumers. Are you going to have to get a new, more expensive phone or a new data plan? How do you take advantage of 5G? And if you don't want 5G, can you just stick to 4G? You know, what are your options? And how does this empower consumers and help cities get to the next level when it comes to being a smart city? The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break.
Norma Elia Cantú's new collection of poetry is all about the border.
There's poems about death, people who drown on the river, but there's also some poems about the indigenous people that were there before we got here, before the Spanish got here.
And the secret to making 150 pounds of tamales.
So I would use my top-loading washing machine.
I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about bringing 5G to San Antonio. This is the next big thing when it comes to the world of telecom and how the network is going to be faster and have more capacity and be able to bring all sorts of good things into our lives. But who's going to pay for it? How does it get here? And what happens if you don't want it? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Let's go to JC. JC, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I have no doubts of the great benefits this technology would bring. I'd like to talk a minute about the cost of our health, mental, physical, and spiritual, as EMF charges affects our adrenal, thyroid, liver, and stomach. And the people that are in these buildings with the towers are going to be immersed in radiation. Don't forget about the heavy metals that we have in our system. It's like putting a spoon in a microwave.
All right. That's an interesting observation. So is this a health concern? Let me go to our professor from UTSA, and he is the Assistant Associate Dean Fellow at the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at UTSA. Brian Kelly, what are the health impacts?
Well, there have been studies that have looked at the health impacts of extended use of RF devices and mobile devices in humans. Most of them have been slightly inconclusive in terms of, detrimental health impacts. However, the studies are ongoing, and we don't think that this is going to be a significant impact in 5G systems any more so than in 4G systems.
Now, it seems like whenever there's new technology being rolled out, we hear these concerns. I don't want to be, not sympathetic to them. But let me go to J.D. Salinas, the Regional Vice President for External and Legislative Affairs for AT&T. Part of, I think, your job is to help people understand what this technology is and what it isn't, and how do you help them realize what your understanding is of the health impacts?
And that's a good question, but, you know, we our safety of our customers is the number one, goal in mind, and honor that by our employees. And the FCC is real strict about our guidelines, and the studies have shown that at ground levels near typical cellular base stations, the amount of the RF energy is thousands of times less than the limits of the safety exposure set by FCC. So we also have seen reports from the American Cancer Society that says that it's very unlikely for an individual to be exposed to RF levels. So we fall within the guidelines, and we strictly abide by them. Furthermore, the World Health Organization, WHO, confirmed the RF emissions also diminish rapidly with distance. So we make sure that we're within those guidelines, and we continue. We make sure that our employees, especially and our customers, are safe when around this new technology.
All right. Let's go to a question we have on Twitter. What about people today who don't even have internet to begin with? Will they get left further behind? And we did a show earlier this week about the digital divide in San Antonio. And so Craig Hopkins, the City of San Antonio's Information and Technology Services Department, I know that currently there is a survey underway trying to get a better understanding and analyze where San Antonio is has a gap, digital gap. And is this just more good stuff for the people who can get it and everyone else too bad for you? Or how does that work?
That is the concern, David. I will tell you the Chief Innovation Officer, Brian Dillard, for the City of San Antonio, that is one of the major topics that him and his team are working on. We can't be a smart city in San Antonio unless everybody is included. And so our vision for a smart city is for everyone to be connected, inclusive, and resilient. And connected is a huge part of this. We want everybody to be part of the digital economy. We want everybody to be able to have access to knowledge and information, just like you have access to clean water and sanitation. So we think of it as infrastructure. We think of it as a ability for our to share knowledge and help our citizens grow. So the thing for us is to understand as we go forward is, will 5G cost more? Either the cost of the device, as you mentioned, to connect to it, the cost of the service, and will I have availability in my area? We know that the telecom companies are there to make money. That is their job. We can't see yet whether they're going to go into areas that don't have availability today, whether they'll have availability in the future. And there are some great smart city use cases we're trying to build out. Telemed is a great example of that, where we can actually provide medical advice into rural areas that don't have access to healthcare or doctors. But if they don't have 4G today, are they going to have 5G tomorrow?
One of the examples I keep reading about, it's like why we want 5G is that we can have robotic surgery remotely done because there's no lag time with 5G. And to me, that seems sort of like a big reach. It's like, okay, really, is that that much of a thing? Scott Dunaway, spokesman for Texas 5G Alliance. Can we talk about 5G as really something that would benefit overall public health?
Absolutely. I think that public health is a huge component of that. And you mentioned remote surgeries. I would think of it this way. Latency is a huge issue. And so as robotic surgery has evolved into healthcare and we see it more commonly on a day-to-day basis now, empowering a doctor at the Mayo Clinic to operate on someone at a pediatric hospital in the city of San Antonio becomes more of a reality through a virtual reality environment where the robot is present in San Antonio in a zero latency environment so the doctor can perform that surgery. I think that is a close connection that's been made because it is going to further empower people to be maybe present where they wouldn't normally be, especially in expert fields like healthcare and manufacturing and utilities. It's exciting. So,
all right, let me go to the caller, and this is Al. Al, thanks for calling into The Source as we talk about 5G integration in San Antonio. You're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, Al. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. So my question is, I understand 5G to 5G speed would be there, but what about 5G to 4 or 5G to 3? I know that the speed is faster from 5G, but what about them responding back or receiving it on a 4G or 3G?
All right, Al, thanks for that great question. So first, let's go back to our expert from UTSA, Brian Kelly. If you have 4G, are you just going to be on a separate network? How's that going to work together?
So when you basically connect 5G to 4G, you're dealing with what we call internetworking sorts of issues. And you fundamentally cannot change the parameters of the 4G network. So the delays would, in some sense, be bounded by that of the 4G network in those scenarios. So that's not as good. So the 5G latency that was mentioned, there's a millisecond parameter in 5G, which gives you a really short delay time that enables these kinds of telemedicine and remote driving kinds of capabilities.
But it comes down, Scott Dunaway with Texas 5G Alliance, it comes down to what phone I have that decides what network I'm going to be on when it's available?
So, yes, I would take one step back and say that the communication between 5G and 4G or 3G enabled phones, I don't believe will be impacted. But one of the major issues that we are looking towards right now is 5G enabled phones. So phones that are manufactured for the 5G environment and that are prepared to deliver that 5G performance whenever it comes online. And we're watching a number of manufacturers right now that are rolling out announcements about when their 5G-enabled phones will be ready. And we're expecting it sooner than later.
J.D. Salinas, you're the external and legislative affairs guy for AT&T. Should I buy a 5G phone now? I know you don't work at this. You don't have to work at the smart bar there, but, you know.
I think, you know, as you see this technology roll out, you need to start studying the different capabilities. Now, remember that AT&T put out their first 5G device in December 2018, which is a Nighthawk, and that was able to give download speeds that were incredible, faster than what you have at home. So as we work with the manufacturers, which is coming out pretty soon, you know, Samsung's coming out with a new phone that's been available here for months, and we've been taking orders, and we've been working with the business community to make sure they have the devices needed. But to answer your question, yes, it's important to make sure you have the device is capable to have 5G, and if you go into a 4G area, it's still going to work. We just have to work with the manufacturers. They have dual band phones and make sure that this rollout is going to come out.
So it sounds like with these faster phones, JD, I'm just going to be able to blow through my data plan a lot faster than I do now. Are we going to have to upgrade those plans?
Those are the things we're looking at today. You know, we're going to have to look at, you know, plans and also coverage and also and what dual bands and SIM cards are going to have and what capabilities. So those are the things we're looking at today and working with our manufacturers to make sure they're capable. So remember that AT&T doesn't own Apple or Samsung, but we work with them to make sure we have the proper devices to give our customer the experience.
Right, but you're the one that I get the text message from telling me that I've gone through all my data for the month and it's not even half over yet. How do I, you know, is this really going to be like choke me out, or I have to really have a lot more money going into my plan? How's, you know, what do you think the consumer is going to be looking at?
I think that one of the things that we're going to be working with the consumers to look at 5G plus plans and maybe look at, you know, either elite plans or extra plans to make sure that they manage it correctly. So, you know, those are the things we're going to have to work with the consumer and make sure that they're, you know, the consumer knows that, you know, we're going to have probably some limits to what they can do, you know.
But there's also some of the providers like AT&T, they're talking about limitless plans will become more common.
Right. And because, you know, we talked about it earlier. Scott talked about how much demand. So in our network, we have a 470,000 percentage increase in the use of our broadband and our capabilities. And I'll tell you that 75% of it is video. And so we need to make sure that we provide those customers the broadband and the speed to enjoy their you know, Game of Thrones and other movies that they're watching. But those are the things they're doing now. And we got to remember, the last 30 years, we got to remember that 2G gave us texting, 3G gave us the internet and browsing, 4G gave us the ability to watch YouTube and video streaming. 5G is just going to go ahead and change the market completely.
So when we come back, we'll talk about the world that we could have with 5G. Do you really need to have real-time, high-definition, augmented reality going on? Because that's what 5G could bring to you. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about 5G integration in San Antonio. And our phone line is 210-614-8980. Call us on your 4G phone or whatever you got working for you. We'll take your call either way. If you got 5G, that's amazing. We want to hear about how you like it. 210-614-8980. Craig Hopkins, Chief Information Officer with the City of San Antonio's Information and Technology Services Department. We've heard about some fiber outfits coming to San Antonio, talking about wiring up the city. How does 5G impact that?
So I think it's important to remember that technology changes incredibly fast in this day and age. So, when 2G gave us texting, we thought we were, you know, really
on the edge. We were cooking.
And so the definition of connectivity was broadband in the home. That was the important focus because you couldn't get that connectivity on your phone. So many firms said it was about laying fiber around the city and then getting that connectivity out there so you could have broadband in the home. In fact, the original definition of digital inclusion was, did you have broadband in your home? That was one of the legs there. But things have moved so fast now that there are still multiple firms laying fiber in specific areas of the city. But Craig's personal opinion, I don't think their master plan is to lay fiber anywhere, everywhere anymore. 5G gives the opportunity to have a different technology that gives you maybe even the same or better speeds over time if the engineering proves true to this. Is fiber the right way to lay the infrastructure going forward, where you have to dig, trench, and it's very expensive? Or are these small cell nodes and public right-of-ways the better infrastructure for the telecom provider, but now it's above ground in a lot of areas and we have to worry about the aesthetics and the exposure?
All right, let's go to Jaime on the phones. And Jaime, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. This is kind of ironic. I just attended a homeowners association meeting last night, and the presentation was from a cell tower provider whose presentation basically went as follows, that we have an existing 190-foot tower in our subdivision that's owned by CPS. But they presented this to us, that CPS was asking the current cell provider, Verizon, to remove its antenna from its tower by September. So they were proposing to build a new tower, another 170-foot tower next to the 190-foot tower, in order for Verizon customers to continue to get their service in our subdivision. Is that consistent with what the city of San Antonio is doing? And why is CPS taking that position?
All right, Jaime, thank you for that call. Craig Hopkins, I know you work for the City of San Antonio's Information Technology Services Department, but you don't speak for CPS Energy. They have their own way of doing things. This is really, these towers, that's prime real estate these days.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about this particular case, so I don't want to talk about it specifically. But in general, towers are still primary real estate because you still need them as a part of your network as you go forward. And you will need to change out the antennas on towers as the technology changes and gives you different 4G, 5G, and so forth as you go forward. But the new 5G technology needs more than towers, as I think we've talked about earlier, in order to create the network. So I do expect, whether it's a tower owned by the city, by CPS, or by any of the telecom providers, we're going to see technology changing out on those towers as this goes forward.
Security. A lot of cybersecurity questions being raised by the upgrade to 5G. Scott Dunaway, spokesman for the Texas 5G Alliance. Why is security, cybersecurity, such a hot button on this issue?
Yeah, it is. It is a hot button, and it's extremely important. So for 5G to live up to its potential, 5G-enabled applications must be delivered securely. Strong cybersecurity is an essential component to deploying these 5G networks, and that's why I think you've seen a lot of interest from the national level, especially coming out of Washington, D.C., on ensuring that a 5G network that's deployed here in the United States is secured and it's controlled. So it's going to be continue to be in a conversation that's evolving, but I know that there are the highest levels of government are keeping a very close eye on this to ensure that it's done in compliance and that when that network is rolled out, that it's a safe and secure network, not just for our national security, but for consumers.
And Brian Kelly at UTSA, does that mean there's a concern, no Chinese parts going into our 5G network, and is that going to slow down or make it more expensive to have this thing?
So just to summarize, one of the concerns is that as 5G gets deployed, there are many more areas where you could potentially be vulnerable for security malicious attacks. And one vulnerability is if you or your network providers purchase equipment that has some malicious software, for instance, enabled on it. And so there's been a concern that if we purchase components from China principally, that may open up vast swaths of the United States to security problems in terms of
like a cyber attack.
Yes,
Yes, and it may be
not just someone stealing your identity or, you know, or messing with your emojis, but this is a real, like, you know, messing with the infrastructure that we have in place and really crippling the nation at a critical time.
Absolutely. So so one concern is that once there's a toehold inside of our network, that during periods of conflict, that could be used by an adversary to help cripple us.
J.D. Salinas, Regional Vice President for External and Legislative Affairs at AT&T. 4G, 5G, cybersecurity, that's something that you spend a lot of time working on?
No doubt that we've spent more than $150 billion nationwide to make sure that we have a network that's secured. Because you can have the best network out there, but if it's not secured, then you're obviously going to have some issues. So we go through, like Scott said and Craig, the technology changes every day. So we're trying to stay. AT&T is the first to first, and we're always trying to make sure we stay ahead of them.
But help me understand why, when I read about 5G, they raise this flag so prominently. Like, we've got to be worried about cybersecurity with 5G, and it seemed like something we should be worried about all the time with everything.
Yeah, there's no doubt that no matter what you're doing, whether you're at home or you're using your cellular network, you need to make sure that that your systems are secured. And I always say safety starts with self. So always make sure that, you know, your hardware and your software is always secured, and make sure that you do the things you have to do to, you know, change your passwords and make sure you use a VPN that's secured and make sure you don't have any vulnerabilities in your system.
And real quickly, J.D. Salinas, I hear that with 5G that we won't even need passwords anymore because this is going to be so good that biometrics is going to be the way to go.
No doubt. That's part of the, you know, three things are going to happen with 5G. You're going to have lower latency, as we talked about earlier. The time between you hit the enter key and when you get a response. So unless you're my daughters, which take a long time to respond, that's something else. But the massive connectivity is also important in how much you're going to go through those network, and also faster speeds. You're going to have the capability because you have that capability of massive connectivity and faster speeds, you're going to have biometrics that are going to be able to do, they're capable to get into your equipment.
And Craig Hopkins with the City of San Antonio Information Technology Services Department, cybersecurity has got to be on your radar.
Absolutely. And I just want to offer that it's not just the future, it's today in everything we do. There are cities around the country constantly under attack, governments who are constantly under attack. So this is not just wait for the next thing and everything will be better. This is about us being vigilant now, always. So password protection, understanding your endpoints. I manage hundreds of networks in the city on behalf of the residents of the city, and every single one of them, it could be a vulnerability. And so our job is to make sure they're not. So I just want to be, you know, buyer beware in some of this. Every new technology that ever comes forward always is the greatest thing since sliced bread. It always takes time for that technology to emerge. And then one day when it emerges, we all adopt it. But sometimes it takes months and many times it takes years. So capacity will be awesome when 5G comes, but we'll still have human factor, we'll still have bad actors, and we'll still have lots of opportunity with thousands of more devices on this network than we've ever had.
Right, and the human part of the human interface is typically the weak point of cybersecurity.
Typically from my cybersecurity role, the human factor is the number one thing we manage. Yes.
So we got to train people. And so Brian Kelly?
Yes, so a lot of research is going on in terms of cybersecurity. Some at my university, which is UTSA, and other universities as well. There are technologies in artificial intelligence that are used to detect attacks, both external and internal. There's technology that's being borrowed from cryptocurrency technologies that are being used to protect networks as well, and other research technology for security.
And back to Craig Hopkins at the city, what do you see the rollout? How's this going to work?
So let's remember that the 5G rollout is not a city-driven plan. This is driven by the telecom providers in our city. Our responsibility is following the rules that we've been given by the state and the federal government to assist the telecoms with their rollout through our permitting process, through our support that we can do. We follow all the rules that we've been given. We make every effort to work together in aesthetics and bringing the poles together and making it easy. But at the end of the day, the city is not responsible for deploying 5G to our consumers. The telecom telecom providers are. I will offer, though, I am a consumer of it as well. So I want to be able to use that capacity inside of our city services.
So let's go back to J.D. Salinas with AT&T. When do you think that we'll see AT&T true 5G, not 5GE, but true 5G in San Antonio very quickly?
The rollout used to be years. Now it's going to be months. You're going to see the rollout here pretty quick, and you're going to see speeds that are going to be just incredible. And it's because of San Antonio's proactive and efficient permitting process and the relationship we've had with them. So you'll see it here in months.
And Scott Dunaway across Texas, what do you think? Real quick.
Yeah, Texas is interesting. And again, I would commend San Antonio. So the last data that we received, Houston has deployed about 1,500 small cells, which will be the backbone of 5G. Dallas has deployed about just over 600, and San Antonio is moving in, I believe, on close to 400. But Craig may know that full data, but that's the last we've seen. So
all right,
we want Texas to be first.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And that was Scott Dunaway, spokesman for the Texas 5G Alliance. Also with us, Craig Hopkins with the City of San Antonio, Brian Kelly, Professor Brian Kelly at the University of Texas San Antonio, J.D. Salinas with AT&T. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.